We have a resident country music expert here. He's our national political correspondent, Don Gagne. And he was telling me recently about a musician named Billy Joe Shaver.
I discovered him quite by accident in Austin, Texas, about 20 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know who he was. And he started to sing. And I like country music. I like real deal
I know
country
you do.
Music. And these songs go places. They are about his life and in some ways a lot of people's lives.
I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday.
The 75-year-old is not a household name himself, but he is among the most respected living writers of country music. His good friend Willie Nelson texts Shaver all the time.
We you send text back. Messages to each other these days?
Oh, yeah. We're the only ones over 70 that text. The rest of them don't want to.
Shaver sent me a text while he was here in Washington, D.C. for a concert recently. He said to meet him the next morning at a Quality Inn. Out in the parking lot of the motel, there was an IHOP pancake house and Shaver's beat-up white van.
She was cuter than a speckled pup, just turned 21.
Shaver was dressed in all denim. He brought us into his room and he sat down on his unmade bed. The cowboy hat that usually covers his flowing white hair was sitting on a suitcase on his luggage cart. He was telling us about his new album. There's a duet on there with his texting buddy, Willie. It's called Hard to Be an Outlaw.
And it's hard to be an outlaw who ain't wanted anymore. And the only friends that's left is now behind those swinging doors.
If we look at a few years ago, it doesn't seem like it was all that hard for you to be an outlaw.
Trouble seemed like it always looking for me.
We're talking about when you shot a man in a parking lot and
shot
him in the face in 2007.
Because he was such a bully.
And so they took it outside the bar and shots were fired.
I hit him right between the mother and the It was the end of that. He dropped his weapons and said, I'm sorry. And I said, well, you know, if you'd said that inside, it wouldn't have been no problem.
There's something about your life that really feels like you're living out a country song.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? I believe that I was born to write songs.
There's a song, George on a Fast Train. I can't think of another song that sort of tells a man's story.
You know what? I believe that's probably the best country song ever written.
What makes it that?
Well, it's got a train in it.
That's key.
And it's got just about everything in it you'd want in a country song. And I wrote it.
Billy Joe Shaver started writing songs when he was 8. He grew up poor in Corsicana, Texas. His mom, who worked in honky-tonks, abandoned him for a time. And as the song says, he was raised by his grandma.
And that's all I'd mention. My grandma's old age pension is the reason why I'm standing here today. I got all my country learning, milking and a-churning, picking cotton, raising, hailing, baling hay.
And working in a sawmill, that's where Shaver lost the better part of two right fingers, his guitar pick in hand.
I had to put my feet against it and pull my fingers off to get out of it.
Took off
it
a few
didn't
fingers
hurt.
There.
For some reason, because I shot a real quick prayer up to God. I said, you know, if you'll get me out of this, I'll do what I'm supposed to do. And that was play music.
I've been to Georgia on a fast train, honey. I wouldn't bone no yesterday.
Shaver got a break in his early 30s when country star Waylon Jennings heard him strumming at a gathering of musicians in Texas.
Waylon said, whose song's that? I said, well, that's mine. And he says, you got any more of them songs? Meet me up in Nashville. And he said, I'll record a whole album of them things.
Shaver took old Waylon seriously. You might even say he stalked him all around Nashville for 6 months.
I'd call over to his place and he'd have the girls say, he's on the other line. I knew they didn't have a one line. And if he saw me coming, he'd take off.
Shaver did finally track the star down at a recording studio.
He got wind that I was down there because he came out of the booth and he had two bikers on each side of him. And he says, what do you want, Hoss? I said, I'll tell you what I want. I just want you to at least listen to these songs. And if you don't, I'm going to kick your ass right here in front of God and everybody.
You said that to him?
I said that. And I don't know if it tickled him or what, but he grabbed me by the arm and he took me into a room. It wasn't nobody in there. And he says, sit down there now. He said, you play one song. And if I like it, we'll move on and we can do another one. But if I don't like it, I'm going to stop you right in the big middle of it. And you're going to leave and I'll never going to see you again. I said, well, that's fair enough. And I did Ain't No God in Mexico. He didn't stop me. And then he went on, he said, yeah, I'll give another one. And I did three or four, got down to Honky Tonk Heroes. And he stopped me, and I thought, oh, okay, it's over. He said, yeah, I know what I got to do.
Where does it go? The good Lord only knows. Seems like it was just the other day.
What he did was create an album almost exclusively using Shaver's music. Honky Tonk Heroes is considered one of the first and best so-called outlaw country albums, which brought the roughness back to country.
It actually put Nashville on the map real good because sequence suits and things wasn't working, I didn't think. The cheating songs and stuff. These songs were fresh and they're different from what was going on.
And Shaver learned something about his role in country. He would never be as big as the stars who sang his songs, like Waylon Jennings.
Because the songs were so big, they were too big for me. I couldn't possibly get them across the way he could.
Other stars sang Shaver songs. Johnny Cash, Kris Kristofferson, even Elvis. Shaver also performs his songs, and he's churned out a bunch of albums over the years, meanwhile still living the life of a country song. He got married 3 times and divorced 2 times, all to the same woman.
The divorces just don't seem to work out.
Shaver doesn't drink anymore. He's gotten very religious, and you can tell he spends a lot of time thinking about his son, Eddie, his guitarist and best friend who died of a heroin overdose before a New Year's Eve concert in 2000. At Shaver's performances, it's like Eddie is there. Shaver will walk over to his new guitarist on stage, and during a song, he'll spread both his arms out and he'll look up. Sometimes he finishes a song by saying simply, "I love you, Eddie." The powerful moment at a concert is when Shaver sings Live Forever, which he actually wrote with his son before his death.
Live Forever, yeah. He gave me that melody, and I carried it around for nearly a year. It was such a great melody.
And there's actually a line about mothers and fathers in that song.
Yeah. Your mothers and your fathers, be good to one another. Please try to raise your children right. Don't let the darkness take them. Don't make them feel forsaken. Just lead them safely to the light.
When this whole world is blown asunder and all the stars fall from the sky, remember someone really loves you. We'll live forever, you and I.
His spirit's still with me. I do believe that when people pass away, the goodness and the good things they did, it seems like they melt into your likeness. It melts into your likeness and you become a better person for it.
Well, Mr. Shaver, thank you for the time. It's a real honor meeting you.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
I'm gonna live forever. I'm gonna cross that river. I'm gonna catch tomorrow now.
With that, Billy Joe Shaver loaded up that beat-up van and hit the road for his next gig. His new album is called Long in the Tooth.